There, how about now? Good. All right. Amen. So, let's start off opening up in prayer. Amen. Lord, Father, I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, God, that it continues to do that which you always have set it up to do, to accomplish your good and perfect will in our lives, God, to train us, to build us up, to encourage us, to edify us, God, and ultimately, God, to grow us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that your word would not return void today in the hearts and lives of each and everyone who is here listening, and that, God, you would continue to do your good and perfect will in us and through us. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So I am going to be talking about something for the next couple of weeks, something that we all will not want to listen to, which is not new, because you guys usually feel that way about everything I have to say normally, right? I know that's not true. That's a lie. I'm kidding. But I can guarantee you guys are not going to like this part of it. I can guarantee that. Because I don't like it. Remember, we've been through this over and over and over again, right? When I come up here and I start to share everything God has given me, remember something very truthful about that. I had it, what? First. So I've already been through this part of it, and I'm not a fan. I'm not happy. I don't like what I'm going to have to be doing in the near future. I don't like what I've already had to start doing. But I'm glad I'm not going to be alone. Amen? Y'all are going to join me. We're going to start with something simple. Everybody, stand to your feet. Very good. First thing we're going to do is we're all going to reach our hands above our heads, which I know might be difficult for some, and we're going to stretch as much as we possibly can. Get on your tippy toes if you can too. Stretch, 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 stretch. And then let it go. All right, that's it. That's all you're going to have to do today. Thank you. You're welcome. All right? Okay. That's just, I'm giving you guys the easy stuff first, right? I don't want to overwhelm you. I don't want you to run out the door. I want you to stay tight. I will tell you the title of the message. The title of the message is Spiritual Fitness. We are going to be going on a spiritual fitness journey. Now, I made you guys stretch because obviously, when we do things in the spiritual realm, what's going to happen in the physical? It's going to mirror that. Amen. So guess what? I'm sorry. You might not like this, but as we're getting our spiritual fitness in order, you're going to be getting your physical fitness in order too. And that's the part I don't like. So you guys are with me, I'm sure. But before we can do that, we have to talk about something that's even more problematic. And that has to do with why is this message coming now? What is the importance of the message and where does it fit in with everything that God's been telling us and going on? It's not out of left field. It has to do with being prepared, right? Because we talked about that. Last week we talked about we have to be prepared, right? Because Jesus is coming. We don't know when he's coming, but we know he's coming and we know that we have to be prepared. Amen? Right? And we also know that we are going to be judged because of what we have done with him. So we have to do something with him and we need to be prepared when that time comes. How many people are ready? That's a lot of, no hands going up, and barely if they can, right? Preparedness is something we have all encountered at one point in our life, and the funny thing is that preparedness is unbiased. Did you know that? It is unbiased. It doesn't care about you. Because you either are, or you're not. That's it. The results of our preparation comes out in the wash. However, if we are prepared, everything seems easier. Whereas, if we are unprepared, it is a constant uphill battle. How many people have experienced that uphill battle? Are you willing to admit it's because you were unprepared? Translate that into our spiritual journey and the impact or lack thereof we have in our own lives and that of others simply because we were unprepared. Do we just flip a switch and we're prepared? Is it that simple? I'm ready now. Put me in, coach. Swing and a miss. You can see how that one's already going to come out, right? Or do we need to actually change things around so that we avoid the patterns that got us here in the first place? The end result is, sadly, church, it's time that we get in shape. Amen? How many people are ready to get in shape? I like that. All right. You're not going to like that shape after you're done hearing this. So first thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to understand there is a time to prepare. There is something called preparation. We have things to help us get prepared. And thankfully, God's word reveals these things to us. So I'm going to show you first and foremost where we can learn about one side, Revelation 19. And you'll be like, wait, what? What kind of preparation are you talking about in Revelation? Preparation end time. Preparation, put on lots of ointment to avoid the burning sensation. No. Revelation 19. It's already behind me. Cool. You guys are already there with it? Or are you just reading from there? I mean, it's fine if you are. Revelation 19, verses 7 through 8. Got to go one more. Went too far. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Bridal preparation. How many brides do we have in the house? You can be a bride or already being a bride, being a future bride. Oh, you can put your hand up. It's fine. I know. Yeah, but you already are going through preparation, dear. And if you want to know about preparation, bridal preparation, true bridal preparation, read Esther. How many months? It was a whole year of being covered in oil and all kinds of pretty makeup and stuff, dolled up. Yep. Okay. Preparation's a long time, right? But bridal preparation. In Revelation, it's talking about bridal preparation, and one of the most key points is that first line in 7. Who is responsible to prepare the bride? The bride. Who's the bride? Who's responsible for your preparation then? Bam! Thank you. Step one, easy. We got that part down, right? No one is going to dress you. However, if you're not dressed, you are not ready. And I'm sorry, I seen the signs on Wawa. No shirt, no shoes, no service. You can go in there without pants, but you need shirts and you need shoes. Which means you gotta be at least dressed here and down here. Alright? I never understood that poster. It really bothers me, okay? It just does. It's, I feel like you're setting people up to just go, but your sign says, and I'm like, but you're not wearing any pants, sir. They could have just added pants. I just feel like they mailed that one in. They figured, oh, nobody's going to come in here without wearing any pants. Somebody's going to do it, right? The garments and everything we need to prepare, however, we have it, right? Go back and if you're not sure, just read Esther. Who provided everything for Esther to get prepared? The king. The king has already provided everything that you need to be prepared. So preparedness is not due to a lack of resources, it's due to a lack of what? Initiative or motivation. Or simply just care. I'm telling you again. I already went through this message once. I'm telling you it still stings now. Because I'm not very good at that either, okay? We all have to deal with that. And since he gave them to us, what's one thing I can tell you about this? If the king has given you this thing, the things you need to be prepared, what is the one thing I can tell you? The thing I can guarantee and tell you is that he has counted you worthy. So the very first thing I'm going to tell you that you need to fight against in getting prepared is that you are not worthy. Because the devil will lie to you and tell you, you're not worthy to wear that. You bag of sinful carcass, you can't wear those white garments. You're dirty and disgusting. You don't get the right to wear those. No, the king has given them to you. The king has chosen you. He wants you to wear them. You're worthy already. So we're going to cancel that lie of the enemy out right now. But if we don't see ourselves the way he sees us, we will ultimately consider ourselves unworthy, and therefore we will not wear the garments, and therefore we will be unprepared. You're never unworthy. You are worthy. But the devil's going to lie to you, make you think in your head you're unworthy, but the point of him doing that is not to make you feel unworthy, it's to make you not get dressed and be prepared. There's a strategy going against you that wants to deter you from being ready. Do you think there's a reason why? Why do you think that is? Let's go back to last week, because you're going to have to give an account for all the things that you've done with him. And if you don't come to the judgment seat of Christ ready, he's going to look at you and say what? Be gone from me. I never knew you. Who wins in that battle? The devil or Jesus? The devil wins. He is playing an end game strategy. He knows he lost, right? So his only objective is to do what? How can I cancel as many people walking out in victory as possible? I just want to cancel them out. If I can just get one of them to be denied, stuck it to him. That's all he cares about, because he knows his end has come. He just wants to stick as many things he can to God before he goes out. In a blaze of glory. It's a chaos theory. It's what it is. He just wants chaos. And if we give in to them, we're participating in the chaos theory. Joshua, however, gives us some other things to think about. I know some of my students over here love them some Joshua, so much as they named their child after him. Not pointing anything out, just saying. But Joshua 4 and Joshua 6, we have to kind of take in a lot of Bible story. And I'm condensing it for you guys. I'm giving you the abridged, what's the Cliff Notes version of it. Because I'm going to just right now assume that everybody understands this part of the story in Joshua. Can I make that kind of just assumption? I hope so. We'll see. Joshua 4, 12, 13, okay? And the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses had spoken them. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. Now, keep that in mind. Go to 6. 20 and 21. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. The wall of Jericho fell. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. 21's important. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. This is a different type of preparation, isn't it? Went from bridal preparation to being prepared for war. Are you still not required to be prepared? Are you still not required to be dressed? Being dressed for your wedding? Being dressed for battle? Harmony. It's amazing how God's scriptures work, amen? You would never be able to juxtapose these two things only here in the Bible. But yet here we are. So what are we being encouraged in Joshua to be ready for? We're encouraged to be ready and prepared for battle, for war, right? But what I want you to understand is that what you might read over and just gloss over that, thinking in your mind that all this means is that I have to just be ready to fight. That's it, right? Remember, long time ago, we went to, the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair. And there was this guy on the chessboard, and he just was like a rabid dog on the thing. And he just was like, I want to fight, I want to fight, I want to fight, I want to fight. And the queen would have to continually tell him, nope, not yet, not your turn. And then, I want to fight, I want to fight, I want to fight. okay, you can go now. And then he would run up there in like a blitz of glory, and he would try to do whatever, you know, and it's still the human chess match. So it's just theater. But that character epitomizes the mentality of so many people who read any time in scripture about being prepared for battle, thinking that's all that means. I just have to be ready here. I have to be ready to fight. I have to be ready to fight. You know how, you ever, I forget who it was, there's a famous boxer who said that everybody thinks they can go in and fight and do the dance and do it until they get punched in the mouth. And everybody then realizes it's not what they thought. So the reality of it is, this is what this type of preparedness talks about. It's not just being ready and saying, oh, I'm ready to fight. It's also not, on the counter, just, oh, well, I got my weapon on my hip. I'm good to go. No one's going to mess with me. I got my gun on my holster. I'm ready to go out there and... womp, womp, womp. Really, think about it. Just because you got something means, oh, now all of a sudden you can hit the, whatever the thing is on the side of the thing with the can and the bing and the toom. And you're so good at shooting, you've never fired a gun before. But man, the second you have that thing in your hand, you're like, watch this. Pew, I'm gonna shoot that guy's hat off. Right? Like, yeah, you think you got it. You don't. You absolutely don't. Here's our issue. We have an understanding of what battle might look like, right? We might have an understanding. How many people have seen any kind of like military war movie, right? So you might see that and go, oh yeah, I know how it goes. Yeah, they get in there and they, you know, they have to get their things and they know how to flank and they know how to jump out of helicopters. Yeah, I just watch them. I know how to do it. I have an understanding. I know what's going on. I get it. I understand it, right? But here's the thing. Without experience, you actually know nothing. You know very little to nothing. Yet, we will take a stance and preach about conditions that we know nothing about. We'll tell people that, oh yeah, if somebody comes at me and gets in my face, man, I'll tell them what for. I'll give them a piece of my mind. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, you will you? Okay. We'll see how well that pans out. Because it will come. Or we do the other thing, which I was kind of illustrating, right? We claim to be adept at wielding our weapon, yet we don't maintain it. Or do we even know where it currently exists? I know one person here who maintains his weapons well, and he knows where all of them currently are. Responsible gun owner. Okay, I'm not talking about guns. I'm not even talking about swords. But if you don't even know where your weapons of war are, and you haven't maintained them, you're going to really be able to rely on that when it comes time to wage war? Go back to being prepared. Sergeant at Arms calls you to assemble and get ready for battle, and you're busy digging in your tent trying to find your weapon. Guess who's not going to be ready for call? Guess who's not going to make it to the battle? Guess who's going to have a traitor's death? Because believe it or not, that's what you've become. Because you're relied upon to show up and do what you have been called to do. And if you don't respond to the call, oops, you have to give an account for that. Amen? The real preparation has to do with two things, our gear and our mentality. Our gear is, of course, spiritual, right? We understand this, right? But what about our mentality? What about that? Oh, I'm going to fight, I'm going to fight, I'm going to fight. We know that's just a facade, right? That really has nothing to do with it, because your mentality gets tested when you have to actually do something, right? When you're actually challenged in how much do you actually know of God and His Word? How much do you actually know about your weapon of war? How much have you been practicing and training with it to be able to stand up and deal with the mental fortitude, right? Because that's what we're talking about. It's called fortitude. It's not your mental capacity. It's not your knowledge. It's not your understanding. It's fortitude. How many people know what fortitude means? How many people are about to get schooled on what fortitude means? Put those same hands up. You should have known this was coming. But I want to go back to Joshua real quick, and I want to point out what I'm saying and why fortitude matters. Go back to Joshua, what is it? 21. They were told to take the city. God brought down the walls of Jericho, so they had the easiest possible way to go in, flood the city, and take it over. They were told to do what? Don't take the unmentionables, right? Only take these things. Leave no thing alive. All right, Jim, I'm going to give you a sword. Go kill him. You got the fortitude to do it? How many people in here right now would have the fortitude to kill a young child? Defenseless. How many people have the fortitude to go kill a woman? Defenseless. Remember I told you it's not going to be about your, oh, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I got this under control. Because you're going to get smacked with a reality card that's that heavy, and you're going to realize how truly unprepared you are and how much fortitude you actually lack. I can't imagine what it was like to be those men, those 40,000, who were prepared for war, and that preparation included going and killing every woman, man, child, ox, donkey, sheep. It didn't matter. It got put to the sword. I know we don't like to think about that. I also know we don't like to think about this is something that God commanded to be done. I know we don't like to think about that, but there is a reason for why God says and does the things he does. And one of the things we have to realize is who we are and who God is. And fortitude is something we need. And if we don't have it, we will not accomplish much. We'll actually accomplish the opposite. What is fortitude? Here you go. Strength or firmness of mind or soul, which enables a person to encounter danger with coolness and courage, or to bear pain or adversity without murmuring, depression, or despondency. Fortitude is the basis or source of genuine courage or intrepidity in danger, of patience in suffering, of forbearance under injuries, and of magnanimity in all conditions of life. We sometimes confound the effect with the cause, this is good, and use fortitude as synonymous with courage or patience. But courage is an active virtue or vice, and patience is the effect of fortitude. You cannot be patient if your mind is not resilient and with fortitude. You have to be a person who can wrap their mind around a point and go, this is what I have to do. The circumstances are going to dictate otherwise. The world is going to tell me different. I am going to have to fit into 20,000 different little small microchisms of this is what you're supposed to do, and this is what you're supposed to be, and this is how you're supposed to talk, and you can't say this, and you can't do that, and you can't do that. Well, if God said, then guess what? Cancel all that other, rack it out. You are on a mission, and God has called you. Do you have the fortitude to follow through? That's the catch. And being prepared has a lot to do with that. And so bring this in now. Spiritual fitness. Here's the catch. I don't think anybody here, including myself, has it. I'm being dead honest. Because when I read that about Joshua, I'm like, don't sign me up for that one, God. I don't think I could do it either. But that's not the question. Why can't I do it? That's the better question. No, it's because I'm out of shape. What has caused us to get this way? We can always blame the world. That's easy, right? Well, yeah, well, you know, the world's created all these things now and all this stuff, and you kind of start accepting it. And you see that in really bold examples in the church, right? Certain Catholic, you know, enterprises and stuff like that have done some really bad things as far as what they've allowed into the Church of God, right? That we would say, oh, yeah, oh, you shouldn't do that. That's really bad. Well, what about you? Oh, we're all saintly over here, right? We got it all together. Right? It's real easy to point the finger, but when you point the finger, you got how many pointing back at you? Let's look at ourselves. So let's do that. Right? Training equals preparation. If we want to be prepared, we are going to have to train. This is why it's called spiritual fitness. Right? Because we got to get in shape. We're going to have to do some training. That's all there is to it. We're going to do that through some really good scriptures. One of them you might know. One of them you might not. But if I'm not mistaken, I think if I did this correctly, I have to use my app for this one because I do have the amplified version. Yes? Can you go to 1 Timothy? 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. I believe I went with this. It might be that or it might be the second scripture. I'm not 100% sure which one. New King James on this one? Okay, so 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. Now, mind you, we've just done this Timothy study, so you guys should already know this one. Starting at verse 7. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this... Oh, that's Thessalonians. I'm sorry. I pulled a pop. I did. I thought I hit Timothy. My bad. Now it'll sound better. But reject profane old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For... bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now and that which is to come. The exercise and training that we are doing now is not for us just now, but preparing us for what is to come. If you're not willing to do the training now, will you be prepared when something comes onto your doorstep? No, you will not. You just will not. Now, you know, this is very common sense, right? But what do we do to get into that state of preparation? How does one prepare? We exercise, right? Pulley, for instance. You are going to have to do a job that requires you to lift heavier objects. Right now, let's say the heaviest object you can lift up is 30 pounds. The job's going to require you to lift 60. What do you got to do? You got to lift some weights in order to build strength in order to lift the 60-pound object. So you can do your job effectively. Yes? Okay? I didn't mention diet. I didn't mention anything else. I just mentioned the capability to lift an object heavier than what you currently can. So you have to do something about that. Does that happen by just, oh, I lift it up. Now I got it. Now I can just keep going, right? No. You have to do it slowly and build it up over time in order to gain the asset of strength that you need in order to fulfill the requirement, right? And it's not just, you're right, and it's not just for me to be able to lift that object, but it's me to be able to lift that object without doing what? Correct. You don't want to get hurt in the process, right? Because you might try to lift that 60-pound object, but you might also do some damage. Okay? So exercise has us get into the condition we need to be in order to best execute our mission and our goal. That's what exercise does, right? Training, however, is different. And now, why am I mentioning training? Well, if you have a different translation of that verse in the Bible, yours might not say exercise. Yours might actually say training. Do you have that? It says training in yours, does it not? Certain versions of the Bible have swapped out the word exercise for training. Now, I could turn around and say there's a little bit of a difference in between one and two, and I'm going to explain that difference between them. They are very similar, so I can get the translational differences, but to me, exercise and training are a little different, and I'll explain the difference. Exercise has to deal with our condition, right? Conditioning, right? We do, you know, exercise, we run on a treadmill. You know, it helps us gain some strength in our legs. It helps us build stamina. It maybe cuts belly fat, things like that and all that stuff, right? But if you start lifting, you know, doing bicep curls and stuff like that, you'll build up strength in your arms. You'll build up strength in your shoulders and your pectorals. You'll start gaining strength, right? Exercise has different veins and things like that. Now, training can be in the form of exercise, right? Because you go through physical training, right? You can go through a physical training where you're doing a process of things and everything like that to do all that. However, training is not always exercise. Do you understand that? Training is very different. And this is why I said they're similar in certain points, but there's a difference where they separate. Training is a continual practice of skills and discipline that produce a habit. You can exercise for one day. That's not training. Training is doing it enough times that it becomes a habit. And it forms into you something that is concrete and continual in your life. Training is better than exercise. Amen? Okay? But that's why I said training is what equals preparation. Because training is what's going to give us the habits that we need to make sure that when the things happen, we're prepared because we already have the habit formed in us to respond to the situation when it happens. You can exercise your way through it, but you're not going to always get it right. But training will make sure you get it right. Think about military, right? Military. Been there? Done it? Training makes you a machine, right? Is there a reason for it? It's so you don't mess up. Correct? It's conditioning, but it's also making sure that when something happens, you respond instantly with the correct response. You don't mess up. How many people played like the Hogan's Alley game back in the day, the Nintendo? It was a little zapper game, right? And you had to shoot the burglar, and then the girl comes out, and you don't shoot the girl, and then, you know, the other burglar comes out, and you shoot the burglar, and then another girl comes out. It's like police training. And it trains you to not shoot the innocents. It trains you to identify what a bad guy is and what a good guy is. And the more you do it, the better you get at just muscle memory. I know who they look like. Boom, boom, boom. And you just never miss. But you got to keep doing it. Right? Now, turn with me to Ephesians. And this is the Amplified version. So if you don't have that, I understand. But Ephesians 6, verse 13. And you guys also know this scripture very well. But there's a point that this all comes in. It's relative. We'll talk about the armor for a minute. Because we talked about the spiritual preparedness, right? And all the pieces of the gear and having all those pieces of gear and knowing that's a spiritual outfit, right? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Oh, well, I'll read it from here because I don't have it. Oh, yeah, I do. Wait a minute. Mine's a little bit different. Not much. Where are we at? Therefore, put on the complete armor of God so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger, and having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, victorious. I know it doesn't have that last two parts. If we understand that the training we are doing is for this very good and purposed way, let me ask you a question. If you go to put the armor on now and you can't even stand under the weight of it, are you ready? It doesn't matter that you know what it is. It doesn't matter that you have it. It matters that you can use it and use it effectively. And if you are putting it all on, and you remember, right? The rucksack is the worst thing you ever had to run with. Yes? It is a nightmare of 60 pounds on your back that you are literally doing that for a reason. Do you know why they make you run with a rucksack? Do you ever know why? Is it for training and fitness? Do you know what it's for? Does anybody know why the military literally makes you run miles with a 60 pound plus backpack on your back? Nope, it's building muscle memory so that you can pick your friend up and run with them in battle. If you have to pull your friend out of a harm's way danger situation and they're injured and they can't run on your own, you leave no man behind. Right? So you run with them on your back. That is why you run with a rucksack. It's muscle memory. Your legs are already built to sustain the weight of carrying that other person with you. See? You think it's stupid. You don't want to run with a 60-pound bag on your back. But when you have to pick up your buddy who got shot in the leg and can't run and will die if you don't, you saved his life because you ran with a 60-pound rucksack on your back. How many people are willing to do that kind of training to protect their friends in the body of Christ, who are able to fence and do the dance to fight for the lives of other people who are being torn apart and divided in this nation today? Are we trained and prepared, or can we not even sustain the weight of the armor that we have to wear in order to do appropriate battle? Because we're out of practice? No. We're out of shape. We're just out of shape. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. It don't fit! It don't fit! Can you blow it out on the sides a little bit, God? I need more room for all of this. Where's my sword of the Spirit? I had it here yesterday. I had it right next to... I thought I left it with my shield of faith, but you know, then I got in the car, it might have not jeez. Our spiritual exercise is very similar to our physical exercise, right? We have all done everybody here has done some sort of exercise, right? So we can all agree. Alright, so we understand this. Do we spend time with the Lord? If so, how much? Is it enough to produce change, or is it just enough to say, well, I did it? Because how do we treat exercise? Well, I ran on the treadmill. Did you run long enough for it to actually build endurance? Or did you run long enough for you to go, evil machine, gosh, And you got Charlie horse and you're limping away. You look like you're 80 years old, even though you're only 30. But I did it. Another aspect, do we remove the distractions and the inhibitors that will sabotage any progress we are trying to make? I'm sorry, but if you're trying to get in shape, stop eating the candy bars! You're hurting yourself, you're not helping yourself. Now treat that in a spiritual sense. What's the spiritual aspect of a candy bar? What is taking up your time of being able to do the things that God wants to do and train you for being ready to do outside goal, adventuring, battle, winning the lost, doing the Great Commission? Fill in the blank. If it's taking away from anything that's helping you do that, there's your spiritual candy bars. Throw them in the trash. They're no good. Oh, and don't do the substitute thing either, Mr. Built Bar in the back. Don't do that. Substitution is still not progress. You just gave yourself something alternative that's doing the same thing the candy bar did. It's just, oh, well, it's a little bit better. Well, a little bit better is not going to get the change you need. Think about it. Oh, I cut sugar out. Did you get rid of it completely? Not working. Not going to do it. Now, I laugh because certain people can do this when it comes to other things, right? Oh, well, I have a smoking addiction. Quit. How'd you quit? I just did. So you can do it with that, but you can't do it with this. I gave up drinking. Well, that's great. Good for you. You're going to lose a lot of weight. You know why? Because alcohol puts on a lot of extra pounds. You're going to realize you have a lot more energy and strength because it makes you less energetic. Don't substitute it with something else that's going to do the same thing. You're just hurting yourself. You're putting yourself back in the same spots. Another thing. Is the goal important enough to want the change more than whatever we have now? Because here's the thing. Exercise sucks. Nobody likes running on a treadmill. I'm one of them. I hate it. Give me something to distract myself while I do it. Please, Lord. I will run miles. We would sit in front of a stupid video game machine running a mile in place. Because we were distracted. My man lost 100 pounds on Dance Dance. Okay? Why? Because you're running in place. But when you're just going, I gotta push the arrow. I gotta hit the right arrow. I gotta do this. I gotta jump. 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 And you realize, man, I'm sweating, but I'm having fun. Well, yeah. Because you're distracted. But is the goal important enough for you to continue to do it? If you don't have a goal and a good enough goal to want to continue to press into it, guess what? You'll give up immediately once it gets hard. Once it's like, ah, man, I'm out of breath. I did one thing. Whoo. Whoo. I did like 4 stairs. It ain't worth going up them stairs, man. I'm just going to go find a new job that doesn't have stairs. My back. Right? If the goal's not important enough, you won't do it. If that job that you have to walk up 7 flights of stairs to get to work every day isn't worth 6 figures to you, guess what? You're not going to go and climb. You're not going to climb it. If that was only worth $30K, you're like, I mean, I can go flip burgers at McDonald's for that much money now. I mean, I don't have to go up 7 flights of stairs either. I'll just do that instead. But if the goal's important enough and it matters, now again, let's take this into a spiritual sense. If your spiritual goals matter enough and they're important enough and they matter to God enough, guess what? You're going to start doing more. You're going to do the things that you need to do. You're going to make the sacrifices you need to make in order to get those things accomplished in your life. Amen. We don't exercise because it's taxing and it feels unrewarding. But where's the reward? Is it now? I'm sorry, if I lifted one dumbbell one time and then I had pecs, biceps, and I looked like I was like that guy in, any of them, forget it, whoever, yeah, the Old Spice guy, and I could just like point to the beach like this, and all I did was this, why wouldn't you do that, right? I mean, that's like silliness, right? But it is taxing, it's unrewarding, but we don't get the results now, we get them in the future. We have to keep doing them in order to receive them, however, amen? But here's where the difference is. Training, similar, but different. Training is a form of exercise, but training deals with our habits and establishing new and better ones. Having your weapon on your hip and ready means you will not be caught off guard. Conceal and carry? I love it. What does that mean? I'm not talking about just gun safety here, okay, folks? So get your minds out of that for just a moment. But think about how much easier every woman would be if she could have a gun in her purse. Just thought alone. You will not be attacked because the thought of you could possibly have something in that bag of yours that could hurt me really bad will immediately remove and deter those assaults. Having that prepared, though, takes habit because now you have to get in the habit of checking the gun every morning, making sure there's nothing in the chamber, making sure there's bullets in the magazine, making sure your safety is on, putting it in your bag safely so that it doesn't fall out and possibly end up in the hands of somebody that should not have a firearm, right? I'm not talking about a gun. Just remember that. I'm not talking about a gun. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about you being able to be prepared and open your mouth and have yourself fully geared and kitted, ready to say the exact things that need to be said in the situations that you're dealing with, the people that you're dealing with, to either prevent the negative that wants to come and attack you from the enemy outside, right, out in the world, that wants to do you harm, or inversely, to impact and protect those who need the protection when it comes. Prepared. But you have to be in a habit of knowing how to do that every single day so that that habit is formed in you, right? Doing drills and repetition helps build muscle memory so we respond instantly to situations correctly and not hesitate. I already talked about this with the rucksack. It's instinctively built into you now. You have it already built into you. You were running with a bag, but now you see your guy get hit, you just go, and off you go. You don't think about it. You responded instinctively, immediately to this situation correctly and as you should because you have done the training necessary to make sure that you don't mess up when it comes time to that. How many people can do that just like this? Or you need to go, well, wait a minute. You were talking about homosexuality. I know there's something in here. I don't know. Wait, give me a minute. Just hold on. I know God says something about it. Something about like two places and Sodom or something. I don't know. I think it's what sodomy comes from. And there was this guy there and daughters and you know what? Just come back to me tomorrow. Opportunity gone. And who looked like the idiot at the end of the day? The person who accused you and made all these insults towards your faith and what you believe, or the person who couldn't fight back because they weren't ready? I'm not saying you want to get into an argument. That's not the goal. But the goal is to be able to be armed and ready when the time comes. Amen? Know what you have to say. And lastly, going through situations as difficult as they may seem, right, prepare us for tough scenarios so we can lead through them instead of being overwhelmed. This is probably the most important thing you're going to get out of this message, because I can guarantee you every single one of you, every single one of you has this problem. Every single one of you. Here's what I'm talking about. If you cannot go through your mental Rolodex in your head of the things that God has said to you, promised you, told you, and continually remind yourself of what you have in the Lord, right? The second something comes in contrary and you don't have it established, you will become overwhelmed. Am I wrong? How many people get overwhelmed in situations that seem like they shouldn't, because after all, it's simple and it's minute compared to a mighty God? I'm going to give you a testimony, because I had this happen today in church with a young girl named Charlotte, who is telling me about a dream she had and how this dream has her distracted. And I don't even know what the dream was. I just know it had to do with diapers. That's all I know. But all I know is it was bothering her. Bothering her. Out of the mouths of babes. When Jesus says to be childlike or have a childlike faith, I'm going to tell you what it means. Ready? Here's what it means. I looked her dead in the eye and I said, Charlotte, I said, you've talked to God, right? Uh-huh. I said, why? Can God do absolutely anything? Yeah. Okay. Why don't you just ask God to take those thoughts away? How many people have negative thoughts throughout the day? How many people ask God to take them away? Yeah, I know you do. Take them thoughts captive! But you wouldn't know to take that thought captive if you don't read the Word and know that's what God says, that you have the authority to take those thoughts captive in Jesus' name and cancel them out. God will give you everything you need. Remember what I said. Being prepared. You've already got all the garments. You have all the oils. You have everything. There's no excuse other than you just didn't do what you know to do. You just were being lazy. Or you just forgot. Or you got distracted. Or fill in the blank. And you get overwhelmed. Trained men and women of God are resilient, prepared, courageous, and most of all, effective in accomplishing their God-given goals. This is what we need to be. Amen? Do we agree? This is what, this might sound weird, but how many people have been praying for a revival in the church? How many? It's okay, you can admit it, it's fine. Do you understand that revival is going to start with you being trained? Because there's no way somebody is going to get on the bandwagon, jump on board, and want to ride with you into the fiery pits to set captives free if you aren't willing to go first. They're not going to follow you. And I know that just as well as everybody else here. I can be up here, preach a fire message, and give you the Word of God as true as I do. And guess what? If I don't live it, nobody's going to follow me. So I am equally as convicted by this Word, because I have to walk it out. And I don't like it! So that's why I'm taking you all with me. We can see that there is a glaring issue among Christians today. Do we agree? It is a problem. We have become complacent in our spiritual fitness and honestly have let our disciplines go. We wouldn't know how to respond to a godly assignment. To be honest, we probably would just give an excuse why we can't. Because of our own situations. Well, this happened. Life, you know, it's really tough. I got this thing. This happened. Blah, blah, blah. Excuse this. Excuse that. This happens. Excuse this. Excuse that. I know that might come off and you might be like, oh, pastor's really not understanding of people's life situations. That seems a little cold and callous, doesn't it? Hear me out. Did we ever wonder if our situations are more of a result of our lack of preparation and training rather than an assault from the enemy? What do I mean? The attacks are real. I understand. The attacks of the enemy are very real and felt. Amen? Went through it. Lived it. Attack of the enemy is a real thing. But prepared believers are not only ready for them, but with power in Christ and their training, they fend them off. They defeat the attacks of the enemy. They don't succumb to them. They defeat them. And this is the catch. I believe it's about time we stop being unprepared and being easy picking for the enemy because we're easy targets because we're just not ready. It's real easy to pick off anybody ever play basketball? Play like, you know, go to a basketball court and shoot with like random people? How many people get last picked? Do you ever wonder why? Because they just judge you by straight up appearance. You're too short. You're too heavy. I know you can't run fast. I know your hands aren't quick. But if you're prepared and you're ready, you don't just get picked last, you get picked first. Because you're ready for the assignment. There's a big difference. If we're easy pickings, we get taken out quickly. We get picked on constantly. We have all these struggles every single day of our lives. How about we get prepared, start training, and start taking the fight back to the enemy? How about that? And stop taking the lickings and start giving them instead. Amen? That's what I'm talking about. But it takes a lot of work to get there. And I'm not ready for it. I don't want to go to the next sermon either. So you're all going to have to just bear with me and bear with it because it's not going to be fun. But I promise that we will get there together. Amen? Amen. So Father, continue to do what you do. Continue to train us. Continue to prepare us, God. Continue to lead us. God, I pray that we would start today. We would start today. We would find even the smallest and simplest thing. I know you gave it to me as kind of a simple, you know, instructional test of just standing up and stretching on our tippy toes to just do that little bit of an exercise. But just that little bit of an exercise is a proof of commitment, of showing of our faith to be able to go and do those things that you give us to do, God. And we know that you understand where we are. You understand our physical condition. You understand the places that we are in and the things that we have to do on a regular basis. You're not going to overwhelm us, but you do want us to get prepared. So Father, I pray that we would start listening and hearing what it is you want us to do so that we can be prepared. Be ready in season and out, God, so that we can give an account and we can prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. Have your good and perfect way with us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.